Thank you for choosing this podcast. It's our pleasure to share with you the word of the Lord. Proverbs 23:12 says, apply your heart to instruction and your ears to the words of knowledge. Join us as Pastor Jim Bunch shares God's word with the people at Christian Outreach Center in Oak Ridge, Tennessee.
So today, Nehemiah chapter 8, we're going to really read both. My text is in verse number 10, but we're going to read verse 9 because it gives you the lead into it. Nehemiah 8, 9. Nehemiah, which is, and I can't say his name, and Ezra, the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord. Mourn not, nor weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, hold your peace, for the day is holy, neither be ye grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great myrrh, because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. Title of the message so simply is, the joy of the Lord is our strength. So basic. And yet this very week, this message has become so real to me, and the understanding of what this means, that I have to share it with you. I have to share it with you. Because for years I asked myself, when people would quote that scripture, the joy of the Lord is our strength, I would say, yes, that's good, that sounds good. What does that mean? Does that mean that there is some kind of a gift from God that makes us happy? Does that mean that we are to put on, or conversely, does it mean that we are to put on some kind of a plastic face and smile all the time and pretend that we're happy? What does it mean? The joy of the Lord is your strength. Now wait a minute. You're connecting strength. Lord knows we need strength in this time, don't we? We need strength. We need endurance. We need perseverance. But we need to go even beyond that and say that during this time, we need to have something more than just a grin and bear it mentality. Well, this too will pass. We need to be able to rejoice in this time, huh? You think? We need to be a light, because if there's going to be hope, it doesn't really engender hope to tell somebody, well, just hang in there, bud, you'll get through it eventually. That really doesn't engender a whole lot of hope, you know? So it don't mean that. The joy of the Lord is our strength. When you connect joy and strength, I begin to look at that and I begin to say, okay, now what is this? What am I missing here that is probably so simple that I already know it, but I just never have understood it from the standpoint of this scripture? And I think that's where many of us are this morning. So we're going to look at the joy of the Lord as our strength. And I'm going to ask you to be thinking about something, because this is an interactive message this morning. Don't go fishing on me, don't go to sleep on me, because I may ask you to participate. How do we maintain this joy? Now that's the end of it. You're going to say, well, okay, Jim, now what is the joy? I might need to know that first. I'm going to give you that, but we're going to come at this, I guess, from the back side first. I don't know exactly how you'd say it. I'm going to define for you what the joy is first. The word joy actually means to brighten up, to rejoice or be happy. The root word of joy is join. That's where it comes from. In other words, joy is the result of coming into God's presence, worshiping Him, and being joined in spirit with God. Now, this is simply saying that joy is the result of the union and the communion of our spirits. Acts 2:25, 26, and 28. Listen to this. Acts 2:25, 26, and 28. I foresaw, Peter preaching on the day of Pentecost, I foresaw the Lord always before my face. He's talking about a prophecy now. For He is on my right hand that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope. And now get this. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. He's quoting a prophecy in explaining the day of Pentecost to the people who didn't understand what was going on. This thing is from ages past that God has prepared for us, church. It's in prophecy. Nehemiah 8:10 tells us that the joy is our strength. In other words, when we come into His presence and are joined in the Spirit, He fills us with the joy of His countenance. And this is what gives us our strength. Proverbs 17:22 says, a merry heart does what? Makes strong, does good. But a broken spirit does what? Drieth the bones. There's something in this about the strength in the presence of the Lord. If you haven't got it by now, let me just go ahead and say it. The joy of the Lord, that is our strength, is the presence of the Holy Spirit. This is what I experienced on Friday. Instead of being tired, worn out, I had strength that I did not get from any nutrients or any drink. I had strength, I had energy that I had no right to have. Where did it come from? I'd been communing with the Holy Spirit. And I was strengthened by that. Now let me go a little farther in this. If you search the Scriptures, you'll find that the word joy is most often associated with the Lord's presence. And with the offering of incense. What is the offering of incense? Anybody? Worship. So we're going to tie together this morning the joy of the Lord, that is our strength. The presence is that joy, and worship. How we get into that presence, how we maintain that presence, which is the joy. Remember Psalm 16:11? Psalm 16:11. Only in thy presence is what? Fullness of joy. I begin to go into this and see this and I'm going, oh, now I understand some of those brothers and sisters that had such a consistently walk of faith and expectation and strength in spite of their circumstances and situations, I begin to see and say, okay, you know what? It was scriptural. Who'd have thunk it? Some of you are looking at me like, poor thing. I have pastored 30-some years, and you say, and this is what you bring us today? This is the big thing. This is so elementary, Jim. I know it. It is. Here and lately, that's all it's been, is pure elementary primer. You know the old days when you read the primers. It's like God is taking me back and saying, look, this is foundational. This really isn't complicated, but it is necessary for you to understand it in order for you to go forward in victory, not just in the sanctuary, but in your everyday life. Psalm 16:11, only in His presence is fullness of joy. Psalm 51:11-12. Remember this now. Psalm 51 is when David had committed the great sin of murdering Bathsheba's husband. Even though he didn't kill him himself, he put him in a position where he knew he would be killed in the front lines of the army. And then he had committed adultery with Bathsheba. And the prophet came and confronted him. And David repented. And when David repented, guess what he said? Listen to this. Cast me not away from what? Thy presence. He said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. How many of you believe David was spirit-filled? I believe the boy had something, don't you? I mean, I would love to have had him as a worship leader once or twice, wouldn't you? It was awesome the way this guy had insights into the heart of God. There are many other scriptures like Psalm 21 verse 1, Psalm 43 verse 4, and on it goes, even Matthew 25, 21. John 15, let me get that one for you. Let's see here. John 15, listen to this. He said to His disciples, this is the last night He's on earth, right? He's talking to His disciples, either in the upper room or on the way to the garden. And He says to them, verily, verily, I say unto you, that you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And you shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. And you now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice. And now get this, and your joy shall no man take from you. Your joy shall no man take from you. There is something that He gives us that nothing can take it away. What is that? There's only one thing that I can think of that could possibly be, and that is the presence of the Holy Spirit. The presence of the Holy Spirit. Because He's speaking to them in the present tense, present time. This is going to happen, and it's going to continue to happen with you. It's not someday in the by and by. It's right then. It's going to happen. And no man can take this from you. There's only one thing that I can think of that could possibly be, and that is His presence. His Holy Spirit that He was telling them, I'm going to give you. This is the joy. Well, how do we enter into this? And we already said it, really. Worship. But is worship something we just do on Sunday? If you look at the lives of the great men of the Bible, you'll find out that it wasn't just a certain day that they had this joy. These men did not constrict, these great men and women of God in the Bible, did not constrict the presence of God to a certain hour on Sunday morning. They walked in something. They experienced something that was real, that was vibrant, that was alive, that was moving in their life. They had learned how to worship the Lord continually, every day, all day long. And thus, Moses came face to face with the Lord. And he was given an incredible revelation. Isaiah was rewarded with fantastic dreams and visions. And the glory of the Lord was certainly upon Daniel and Elijah and Samuel. Well, church, the same can be true of us. I mean, why can't we have the presence of God, which is the joy, which is our strength? Why can't we have that every day? Why can't we? I say we can. The first thing that comes to mind, though, about worship, let's just back up a minute. If worship is how we come into His presence, experience His presence and the joy, how do we do that? How do we do that? Worship is the vehicle, if you want to call it that, to experience His revelation, His joy, His love, and all that. But how? How we enter in? Do you realize that there is a prescribed way to enter in? Are you aware of that? There are so many things that vie for our attention, that vie for our time. We become so encumbered with the cares of this world and so busy that we miss this very important first step. Let me give you a key then. We must come into God's presence and worship Him. And we can't just walk into His presence presumptuously. There is a prescribed way. And the prescribed way is first and foremost confessing our sin. Honey, I'm going to use you a minute. Come here. Come on. You okay? All right. Glasses to glasses. Hallelujah. Yeah. Come over here with me, precious. Now I'm going to show you something. This little lady has been part of my life for many, many years, right? Don't put me on the spot. Many years, that'll do.
How about
since she was 15? I picked her out. You can do that, okay? But you better be faithful. She is with me 24/7. We walk together. We enjoy life together. She's a real part of my life. Now, there have been times when I had to go somewhere. I had to leave her and be separated from her by space. Now, she's still there. I know she's there. Maybe some of you that have been in the military, you know the letters. You communicated with letters. Maybe even a phone call. But you're still separated by great distance. Is a letter or a phone call the same as the presence? Nobody. Nobody. Listen. When I'm separated by many miles, I can't kiss her. She can't kiss me. She can't rub my head and rub my back. She likes to rub my head. It's just, not now, dear. There's just something about the presence of that person. The way some Christians are living is that, yes, there's a Holy Spirit in this world, but they are separated from Him. They don't know Him in the intimacy of relationship. And I'll tell you what is separating them. Sin. Sin is separating them. He said, uh-oh, he's going to start meddling now. Sin is what separates us from that presence. Why? Because the Holy Spirit, when there is sin in our life, He will move apart a little ways. The point is to make us aware of our loss and our need, that we come to our knees and say, God, what did I do? How many of you men, how many of you women have had this experience? You do something, you say something, and your spouse moves away a little bit. You can sense it, can't you? They don't have to say a word, but you know that something has separated you. And you go, what did I do? Guys, this is our favorite line, isn't it? Because most of the time we don't have a clue, do we? What did I do? They don't have to say a word. But we sense that distance, that separation, and we don't like that. We want that restored. Why? Because there's the joy of their presence. It is this way with the Holy Spirit, church. When we ignore Him, we offend Him. When we try to do everything in our own strength, we offend Him. When we don't acknowledge Him, when we don't give Him the glory, we offend Him. And I don't know about you, but when I'm offended, I tend to back away a little bit, don't you? And give the person some space to what? Repent. Unconfessed sin in our lives separates us from His presence. God is a holy God. We can worship Him only when we ourselves are holy. And I know all you good Baptists are going to pounce on me and say, now, Pastor, you know. Yeah, I know, but shut up and listen to me. If you're not experiencing the presence of the Holy Spirit on a daily basis, there's something wrong. Oh, but I thought it was just a great time on Sunday, and rest of the week I could do whatever I wanted to do. You big dummy. If you're living that way, you're living in defeat. You're living without the wonderful blessing of the presence of God. You are missing out on His instruction, His provision, His wisdom, His direction. You are missing so much. Man, if you could just listen to Him. Who shall ascend? Here it is, Psalm 24. Here's how we approach Him. Psalm 24, 3 and 4. Psalm 24, 3 and 4. You might want to, just for the next couple of months, start every morning with Psalm 24, verse 3 and 4. Here it is. Listen to it. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who is going to be able to come into His presence? That's what it means. Here it is. It's very clear. You say, well, that's Old Testament. That don't apply to me. Okay. Go right on. Go on. Just keep on doing that. Don't listen to instruction. Harden your heart. Fill your head with nonsense. But if you want that wonderful, sweet presence of the Holy Spirit in your life, listen to me. Who shall stand in His holy place? He's asking questions, isn't he? Here's the answer. He who hath clean hands, that means soul, and a pure heart, that means spirit, that's the one that's going to access the presence of God. The Lord is telling us that the only ones that will be permitted to worship Him are those with a cleansed and purified spirit. Brothers and sisters, just because we're singing the songs, just because we're reciting the mantra, doesn't mean that we are worshiping. We don't even begin to worship until we have brought a clean vessel. Now, this is old line holiness Pentecostal preaching, and some people ain't going to like it. But listen, clean it up. Amen. God expects clean vessels. And His Son Jesus Christ went to the cross and shed His blood that we could have access through that redemption and that cleansing 24/7, and that we could be clean in a minute, in a second, just by repenting, confessing, and saying, God, forgive me. Let us walk in humbly before the Lord in this confession and repentance, that the minute the Holy Spirit says to us, that's wrong, boom, we go to our knees, even though it may not be physically, in our heart and in our mind, we say, Lord, that's accountability. Where there is accountability, there will be anointing. Where there is anointing, there will be the power of God in your life. There will be the strength of God in your life. Come in this way. Some people say, well, you know, I was in that service and I didn't feel a thing. Well, I can tell you why. You needed to go to the altar. Well, they didn't sing the right songs. I'm so glad that Randy leads worship the way he does. From the very first... Now, let me digress again. I'm going to digress from my digression. If the only time you prepare for worship is when you come through those doors, that's what's wrong. That's the problem. People come in. Let me just go right back here and illustrate it. Okay. They come in through these doors. And they come in. Look back here, everybody. Look back here. Okay. Look back here. They come in like this. Well, I know they've probably had a bad week and I have sympathy and pity on them. But they come in like this. Now, none of you do this. This is not for anybody here. Okay. This is for them that ain't here. And they come in. They sit down in a pew. Can everybody see me? Sit down in a pew. They sit there. Saints around them are praising God and shouting, and they're in heavenly places. Unmoved. You know why? Because you didn't prepare. You didn't prepare. You thought that walking through those doors and sitting in these pews was going to put you in a worship service. Wrong. You must prepare. You must begin preparing on Saturday night. You must begin preparing on Sunday morning before you get here. You must begin preparing. If you are listening to Bon Jovi in the car when you pull into the parking lot and walk into the sanctuary, I don't think you're going to experience the anointing of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Conversely, those of us that are more mature, if our minds are focused on all of our problems and all of the anxieties and the stress that's in the world all week long, and on the Sunday morning when we're coming into this sanctuary, we come into this sanctuary like that, I don't think we're ready to worship. I want to see, and I live to see, I believe to see, that everybody comes into this sanctuary so prepared to worship that Randy don't even get the first word out of his mouth. And everybody's going, hallelujah, glory to God, that was good. Because we prepared. We prepared. You're saying, well, Jim, people have needs. I mean, people, if you're not careful, you're going to make people who hurt feel like they shouldn't come in here. No. I'm not talking to them. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you that know the Lord. I'm talking to you that have been saved long enough and filled long enough to know this. This is foundational. This is the primer. This is just the very basic concepts of Christianity. That's all it is. But yet, it needs to be stated. Worship is not a ritual. It's not something we do externally. It's a bowing down and surrendering of ourselves. The story of Korah in the Old Testament dramatically portrays this, the importance of properly entering His presence. Numbers chapter 16. Korah and 250 princes rose up against Moses and accused him of pride and of taking too much upon himself. Moses went to the Lord. He sought the Lord's counsel. And then he came back and he powerfully spoke to them saying, and beloved, I'm going to tell you something. As we walk in this anointing, we're going to see more and more things like this right here happen. Saying that God would show them the proper required procedure for approaching Him. This is what Moses told them. He said, tomorrow the Lord will show who are His and who is holy. He told them to take their censers, put fire and incense in them, and then put them before the Lord. The Lord then would make it very apparent who was clean and who was not. Do you know what happened? Korah and his men did as Moses instructed. But Korah's incense, the Bible says, was strange fire. It was not that which was prescribed by God. It was not God ordained. And so the Lord appeared unto Moses and told him, He said, separate yourselves from Korah and his congregation because I'm going to consume them. And it came to pass that the Lord just did just as He said. The ground under Korah gave way, opened up, and swallowed him up. Not only did he perish, but all of his men and their houses also. So the consequences of disobedience is huge. God means what He says, and He says what He means, church. He makes rules, and it's our responsibility to not only understand them, but to obey them, to apply them. 1 Chronicles 16:29 says this, give unto the Lord the glory, do His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Psalm 29:2. The Scripture tells us that in order to worship the Lord, we must attain the beauty of holiness. What is that? It simply means that our sin has been removed. Present tense, not past tense, present tense. We need to walk in this humility before the Lord. God's love covers that sin, but that sin must be confessed and rooted out. Otherwise, we come with dirty hands to try to worship a holy God. So then, why is worshiping different than praise? Is simply mouthing the words of a song worship? No. Transformation can only come when we begin to worship Him in our heart of hearts. It's very different than simply praising Him. Worship is an entering into His presence. Worship is a soaking up of His presence. Worship is an experience of His presence. Praise can be soulish. We see this all the time with groups who are singing praise songs, but there's no worship. What is the difference? And yet another leader could step right where they stood and lead the same song and worship take place. What is the difference? It's what is happening in the heart that is worship. Well, can this happen during the week? Can it happen apart from the Sunday morning? It certainly can, church. It certainly can. If it's in the heart, it can. Who shall ascend to the mount? Who shall come before His presence? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. That being said, about preparation, then a brief explanation of worship. Then comes this. How can I maintain this fullness during the week? If I have such a wonderful experience of His presence here on Sunday morning, and He rains down and He blesses me and worship and praise is awesome. How can I take this out there? Because Monday morning is going to come. Amen? Sure as day follows night, Monday morning is going to come and you're going to get up and you're going to head off to that job. And there's going to be problems. There always are problems on the job. There are going to be problems in the house. I had a brother say to me one time, "Pastor, why is it that so often when we have such a glorious service on Sunday morning, we go out and get in our car, and before we get out of the parking lot, we're in a fight? How does that happen?" I said, "Well, it's probably because you're not walking in the Spirit. Because if you're walking in the Spirit, you're not going to be easily offended or upset. You know?" And so, here it is. This is the interactive part. This is where you get involved. This is where I take a microphone and I stick it in your face and I say to you, how can we maintain our joy, which is the presence, which is our strength? How can we maintain that beyond the Sunday morning worship service? How can we do that? Are we able to walk this out Monday through Saturday out there in the world? Do my co-workers, do my family know that I'm full of the Holy Spirit and that I'm full of the joy Monday through Saturday? Or do they only see it on Sunday? If they only see it on Sunday, they don't believe it. And they shouldn't, because it isn't real. So then, how do we maintain this joy? Okay, where's that microphone at? What do we do? That it up there? All right. I hope you're ready, because it's coming your way right now. Well, that's not the one I want. I want the other one. Alan, you got that microphone over there? Is it by you? Let me get that microphone. That one, I like that one better. Okay. I'm going to Jack first, because I forewarned him. But after that, anybody's fair game. So if you've been sleeping thus far, or if you've been kind of dozing off, that's okay, because now I got you. How do we maintain the joy? All right? Monday through Saturday. The Spirit of God start working in you. Practical, maybe scriptural, maybe you got a scripture. But let's enter into this thing, church, because this is important. So, Brother Jack, your first step, sir, how do we maintain the joy?
The easiest way for me is just to get into worship through good worship songs. And you just feel His presence at that point, and then you just kind of carry it off.
So you have worship music going on. Are you able to do that on the job?
Right here.
In the head. Yeah. Oh, I see. The worship music is playing in your head. You are singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord.
Well, Ephesians. We've got a song going all the time.
Wow. Cool. I like that. All right. Sonny, how do you do it?
Well, I think you need your diligence in seeking the Lord here. You need to take it with you to home. Like you said, it you know, so many people when they leave here, it's they step out of victory to defeat.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's important that when you're at home, you maintain that diligence in seeking the Lord. And also another thing too, a lot of us, a lot of Christians are, I believe, are, whether they realize it or not, are living a double life. And I want to read Romans 12, if I may.
Mm-hmm.
"Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship." This is coming out of the NIV. "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." I think if we just stop conforming to the world and seek the righteousness of God, and maintain that, mm-hmm. and don't, you know, go away from that, you'll have it.
Okay. Now I got a question for you. I'm not departing from this point, but I got a question for you. Where is the most difficult place for you to experience the presence of God? What place, what situation, what circumstance is the most trying for you to sense and experience the presence of God there? Anybody? Okay, Debbie says work. Anybody else? When you're being tested. What about with family members? Do some of you experience difficulty experiencing the presence of God with certain family members? No hands on this one, just, you know, we all understand. What about driving? None of you have road rage, right? I mean, you're just serenely floating down the highway. You're probably not driving on the roads in Knoxville either. But what about when you're sick? What about when you don't feel well? What about when you're irritated? Anybody ever get irritated? I do. I get irritated. Sometimes it's not people either. It's just the combination of circumstance that seem to just be unresolvable. All of this that we're talking about is how we walk out this joy, the presence of God that is our strength, so that we are victorious in our life, but also we are better witnesses. All of us hear the complaints. They're a bunch of hypocrites because they don't live what they talk. And we don't need any more of that. So, how do you do it? Jack said, I sing and make melody in my heart. I've got worship going on in my head. Sonny said that we give ourselves totally to the Lord. We present our bodies a living sacrifice. And we don't become so molded by this world, but rather molded by the Holy Spirit into His image. We walk that on a daily basis. When he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, it wasn't a one-time, once-for-all thing. It was a continuous action. Anybody else? Anybody else? How do you maintain the joy? How do you do it? Where? Oh, here. I'll be right there, Chris. Hang on. This is Victoria.
At work is my biggest challenge.
Okay.
I really feel like the Lord is showing me that multitasking sometimes adds a lot to our stress level.
Uh-huh.
And that we should try to slow down and focus more on one task at a time. And at the same time, I'm trying to be more aware when people come in and what I used to think of as interruptions. I'm trying to be more aware of the scripture that says that the steps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. And to look at that person coming in and try to be quiet in my mind and listen to them and see if God is going to speak a word to me for them. And to try to see that more as an opportunity that maybe the Lord wants to use to say something to that person instead of looking at it as an interruption.
So then we could say that we believe in divine appointments.
Right. Right, and then at home, just trying always to be careful, of course, of, you know, what we're watching and what we're listening to, but to take during chores and things like that, learning to take little 10, 15 minute breaks, go outside, take a break, and just be still. And I really think that's helping me with stress and helping to be more aware.
Amen. That's good. Take a break from the stressful events. Step back. Breathe. Possess your soul. Anybody else? How do you maintain it? I'm sorry, Chris, yes.
I just remember what God has done for me, you know, when I'm feeling low and tired and just blah.
Mm-hmm.
I just remember what God has brought me and
okay.
the justice that He has for me.
All right.
Walk in that.
Praise God. You recall, you refresh, you rehearse in your mind and your heart and your spirit what God has brought you through.
Most days I start out my day with God. As I first wake up, I say, "Hello, Lord, here I am." You know,
praise God. That communion. Yeah.
And then as the day goes on, I invite Him in. I call on the Lord a lot to help me in some of the decisions I make and the things that I do.
Mm.
I've actually laid my hands on a piece of 150-ton equipment and said, "God, help me heal this thing or help me get it working because I couldn't do it in my own." You know, I've done it more than once, and we always come to a conclusion and get it working or whatever. So God is awesome.
Amen. Amen. This presence that is our strength. The joy of the Lord is the presence of God. The presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. 24/7. How many of you have ever had a problem with bad dreams invading your mind at night? Had that? Renee, come here. Come here, Renee. Come on. Come on down, hon. I want her to share something with you because Renee was plagued with this. I want to show you, this is right in keeping with what we're talking about. How that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Tell them. Tell them about what happened and how you dealt with it and how you overcame it.
I have to remember way back because I learned how to pray and get rid of it. But even since a little girl, I would have bad dreams and wake up scared to death. And I would see that I would even see demons would come at me, like a duck. You know, like you go to a carnival. You see these ducks going across, and you're supposed to shoot them as they're going across. I would see demons coming toward me. And I would be scared. And I was like, I don't want it. And I would feel the fear. And I was like, I don't have to do this. I was like, I do not have to be tormented in my sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And they would come. And I'd say, "In Jesus' name, I rebuke you." And they'd go. It would come again. I'd say the same thing. It would, and it would leave. And, but it seems to happen when I'm really tired, because this week I woke up twice. I went to sleep, had a dream, and I woke up. But it wasn't like a demon dream, but it was scary. It was scary, and it was like, and I want you wouldn't want that thing to happen. I woke up, and I felt that same fear, and went back to sleep. Dreamed another dream on the same line. Woke up and I said, and I prayed again. After I woke up again, I prayed to come against that thing.
Renee was telling me one time about having these dreams in her sleep. And I said, "You know, Renee, the same Holy Spirit is with us in our dreams as in our waking." I said, "Believe it or not, you have control through the Holy Spirit over those dreams, even when you're asleep." And I said, "When this happens again, I want you to take authority in Jesus' name and command those things to cease and get out." Now that sounds weird that you can do that in your dream, but you can. And so she started doing that, and it ended. Beloved, the Holy Spirit isn't just here on Sunday morning. He is with us 24/7. And He is our joy. Now, Jesus said, no man, and I can insert there, no circumstance, no situation, no devil in hell, nothing can take your joy from you. That joy is not an emotional high. That joy is the presence of God. Now, what is in that? Okay, if I have the presence of God with me, what also do I have? I have His resources. I have His wonderful, comforting, assuring presence. I have His peace. I have, and somebody said, well, Jim, you know, joy is just the fruit of the Holy Spirit, Ephesians chapter 5, verses, chapter 5. And I said, well, sure it is. But what is? Even you good Baptists and Methodists know what the fruit of the Spirit is. It's the nature of Christ. Oh, hello. If I have the Holy Spirit in me, I have the nature of Christ in me. Joy is the strength. It is the power of God in me with wisdom and knowledge and all of those things that you can name. It's in me. It's in me. The joy of the Lord is our strength. So in order to maintain that, we must actively, mentally, and in some cases even physically, engage this thing. It's not automatic. It's not automatic. It's a relationship. Nay, come here again. Right now, we're together. Right now, her presence is here. I know her presence is here. Right? But when I go off to work, is her presence with me? Oh, Jim, I love you. I'll be with you always. Yeah, I know, but I want your body. Hello? This stuff of Christians saying, Pastor, we're with you in spirit. Hogwash. Bring your body. Amen? Bring your body on down here. When I'm separated from her, I miss her. She went up to Greenville here, what, Friday? I missed her. My bed's empty. The house is empty. Well, Jim, she's just a 50, 60 miles, 100 miles maybe up the road. She's still alive. It's not the same. Are you getting this? If it won't work in a human relationship, it sure ain't going to work in my God relationship. Hello. Walking in that every day, acknowledging Him, inviting Him, talking to Him, communing with Him, consulting Him, worshiping Him. This is how we maintain the joy, the presence. Have you ever had your thoughts on Him and then it was almost like He just walked into the room? He just walked in. Goosebumps went up and down your spine. And you go, wow. I know that presence. I know what that is. Listen to me. This is real stuff. This is not mind games. This is real stuff. This is what we as New Testament, New Covenant believers can expect. When He said, lo, I am with you always, that was not a platitude. I'm sorry, but I cannot live on this yesterday's manna. I cannot live from Sunday to Sunday with nothing in between. I cannot go with this religion that just says, well, just take it by faith, brother. No. He didn't say, disciples, even when you don't think I'm there, just take it by faith, I'm there. No, He didn't say that. He said, I will be with you. Now, folks, that's not some theological construct. That is a reality. I am with you. In fullness. And so I'm counting on it. I'm banking on it. I'm depending on it. Because I have come to understand that I cannot do it myself. On the slide on one of the announcements this morning, there was a quote that I put in there on purpose from Andrew Murray. Andrew Murray lived to be 89 years old. He was a missionary. He was a missionary when they didn't even talk about missionaries. Andrew Murray talked about the presence of God and the baptism and the filling of the Holy Spirit when they didn't even talk about it. He was pre-Pentecost. He was pre-outpouring. Andrew Murray said, if your vision doesn't scare you, then either your vision or your God isn't big enough. What are we walking in here, church? Are we walking in a Sunday pep rally? Are we walking in a fullness of God 24/7 that when we leave this place here today, we're like a bunch of what?
Ever ready bunnies.
We are like a bunch of duck hunters. Somebody just threw a shotgun in our hands and said, it's cocked and ready. When you go out that door, it's open season. And we are just attentive and watching for an opportunity for God to show up so that we can say to those around us, there He is! There He is! That's Him! And we take the prayer cards and somebody says, you know how they do. You know how they do. They'll come to you and they'll tell you their sob story. And then they will conclude with this, just pray for us. Just pray for us. You know what that's really saying? Console us. Comfort us. If that's your concept of your God, if that's your concept of prayer, if that's your concept of His presence, it is just primarily to console and comfort you, I'm telling you that you are living on an elementary level and that you have not yet come into the fullness of who your God is and the Spirit of God and what He wants to do in your life. If all you want is consolation and comfort, you can get that from a bottle. Hello. But if you want the power of God, if you want the signs and wonders and the miracles and the glory of God, then come on up here and realize that when you ask me to pray, I'm going to pray. Hallelujah. I'm going to believe God to invade your world. I'm going to believe God to do something awesome in your world. I'm going to believe God to rain down upon you. I'm going to believe God to interrupt you. I'm going to believe God to shake you.
Amen.
Amen. We need some New Testament Christianity in this time. I've settled in the past for far too little. Raise up a generation, God. Raise up a generation of bold, courageous, humble believers who will walk this thing out in the marketplace. Not just a consolation and comfort, but bless God, the power of God. The power of God. Let's stand. Father, thank You. Thank You that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Thank You that You're going to go with us, not just in a theological construct, not just in a pie in the sky by and by, not just in a grin and bear it, but You are going to go with us. Let's go. Holy Spirit, we're going to appear weird to the world when we are singing and making melody in our hearts, they're going to think that we really do need psychological help. But Father God, isn't it about time? Isn't it about time that New Testament believers emerged from their closets and began to say, hey, wait a minute. He's not a Sunday go-to-meeting God. He's a 24/7 God. Let's walk it. Let's walk it. Randy, you must have a song. You must have, after hearing all this, you must have a song that fits with this, because I can't think of one. But I know you have got the mind of Christ on this. And I'm going to pray over you. Okay. I'm going to pray over you. This morning, I'm going to pray over you. Yep, I'm going to do it. We're going to worship for this song, and I'm going to pray over you.